I want to talk about something tonight, and man, I'm going to dive right into this. If you can get ready, get your ears on, and if you need to, the notes are in the app, so if you want to follow along. I want to talk about alternate reality. How's that sound? Man, we are getting all kinds of alternatives. You can take this away if you want. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm just going to lean on it all the time. yeah, I don't know if you're looking on the app there, but they got these virtual things now, you know, virtual reality. And people get in another world altogether. And really, while they're there, that's reality to them. But it's really critical which reality you choose to be a part of, because, you know, we just recently went on a little outing with Kim. Remember Kim that came and ministered to us? Well, she's a coach. She's a therapist, and she's Christian and has a great approach to things, but you know, if you believe something enough, that's your reality. And so, when she's dealing with people that are going through stuff, you can't just say, "I'll stop that." No, because they really believe it's real to them. You know, somebody offended me. Well, get over it. No, this is what they're going through, right? And really, so I want to look at four different aspects of reality that we can be affected by. But then how important it is for us to and we're going to look at some options that we have in God, because there's another reality in God for everything else that we're going through. but man, in the world today, you can really see this. If it's amazing to me. And sometimes it just boggles me how people can actually believe some of the stuff that's going on in the world. You know, some of these things that are being proposed, you know, if I feel like, how it progresses is people start to deal with something in their flesh or in their emotions or something. And instead of really trying to find out what's real, they just make their own alternate reality. And they say, okay, this is what it is now. And if I say it enough, it's like, you know, propaganda. One of the biggest things that Hitler used was propaganda. And if you tell people the same thing enough, a lie enough, it becomes real to them. And then you can go ahead and progress and do something based upon that reality that you've created. Is that right? Okay, can we kind of go with this? all right, so I'm just going to go through four of these realities. We can get these up. surroundings. And these are these are the facts. These are, man, I see this. A lot of people operate in this realm. And it's like, don't you try to tell me anything else. This is what the facts are. And faith is a challenge for people like this a lot of times, because what you're trying to tell me to do is to lose my mind somehow. Because I can obviously see what the surroundings are, right? The circumstances. And that's true. It's real. What your surroundings are very real, right? Okay, now we're not just going to leave it there, but we're going to go on. Imagination or dreamland. How many know people that just get off in another world? Kids are really good at this, right? He's still a kid. Is that what's going on? But you know, and that's kind of how these virtual reality things are. You're in another world. You can imagine yourself somewhere, and we're going to give some examples of these. And it's actually a reality for you, and you make decisions based upon that dreamland that you've got into. To me, some of these. Some of these imaginations are what are taking place in some of the identity things that people are going through and some of the challenges that people are having. They start imagining something, and it becomes real to them, right? There's a spiritual world that's a reality. And it's actually evil versus good. sometimes when there's things going on and all you're seeing is the surrounding evidence, really the underlyings are evil versus good. What's going on, right? And it's an alternate reality. You can't just base things on the surrounding reality that you see, because there's another reality going on. Now, some of the movies later, man, especially Spider-Man? Some of these Spider-Men, man, they have like four different realms of reality, you know, that are fighting against each other and stuff. And it's like, sheesh, I'm lost. You know, and you have to go through some kind of portal to get into this other reality, you know, and stuff that's in that reality affects this. So we're in the world of alternate realities, right? And then this last one, and this is where I believe that we can affect where we live in the realm of reality. And it has to do with a promise or secured hope. So let me just go ahead and dive into some of these. Not get ahead of myself too much here. I'm very tempted, but I'm not going to. Okay. So surroundings, an example out of Exodus 14:13. Remember this, the children of Israel had escaped Egypt. They're out in the wilderness, and all the army is coming down upon them. What does it look like? Their surroundings say to them that they're going to perish. It's obvious. We can't survive. I mean, there's so many examples of this, but just their surroundings. If you're just going to go by the surroundings, sayonara. We're not going to see you no more, right? And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still. And here's where this always is. Reality is your ability to see. And this is something that I pray for a lot of times. God, help me to see your heart, even in what we're doing right now. Help us to see the reality of your purpose for our life. Help us to, because until you see it, it doesn't become real to you. Now, I know we don't go by sight, but even faith is something, it has a sight to it. It has hope that you're looking towards something, right? So he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, the surroundings and the circumstances that you see, you shall see again no more forever. Isn't that cool? So it's very real, and we have to deal with our surroundings. It's not like we just become zombies and we don't do with anything about our surroundings. But you don't live in the limitations of your surroundings. Right? Okay. Imagination, dream. Judges 7:13. kind of put this together for us real quick. Remember what happened, Gideon, and this was before the word of God that, you know, for us to stand upon, but oh no, I have to read this. This is so good. I'm not just going to tell you, okay? Gideon crept. Remember, okay, I have to set this up a little bit. The Midianites are coming in, and they have a large army that's camped in this valley, right? And God told him that he's going to overcome them. And it's really cool because God gets involved on the enemy side before Gideon ever does anything. So Gideon, he creeps up and he's listening at the camp of the Midianites, right? Crept up just as a man was telling his companion about what? A dream. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. That's a pretty stupid dream. But listen, dreams don't just come as stupidity. They come with interpretations, right? His companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing. Man, I think I could come up with some other meanings for that. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all its allies. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, get up. All he did was hear a dream from the enemy's camp, and he goes home and he shouts, "Get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes." Based upon what? A stupid dream. I just thought this is kind of funny, but it's a good example how you can base what you're going to do and your expectation and a victory that you expect to get based upon an alternate reality that somebody had in their sleep. Right. Isn't that interesting? But it's real. You can't deny it. And people go by these things, right? God actually reveals things in dreams. It's another reality, though, that makes way for the surrounding reality, doesn't it? Okay, 2 Kings 6:17. I love this one. Remember, this is where Elisha and his servant are surrounded by the hordes of people coming to get him, right? And what does Elisha pray? You know, this is something that I speak over us because we're becoming a body of prayers. And what are prayers doing? They're abiding in a place in the spirit that's another reality than just English. They're abiding in another reality where they can actually hear the voice of God. And I believe that it doesn't just help us to hear the voice of God. I believe it helps us to see into a spiritual realm. And I desire this. Man, I just got to say it this real quick. There's this guy from Africa. Man, he was married to a witch at like, what was he, 4 or 5 years old. I mean, it was really, he had a really weird upbringing. But was ensconced in this spiritual activity that he became so familiar with it. And now he's this amazing minister, but he can walk into a room and see all kinds of stuff that we don't see because we're not used to looking in that realm. But I believe God is calling us to a place where we're abiding in the spirit. We can begin to perceive things in the spirit because it's another realm, isn't it? So they're surrounded. Oh, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. I think Elisha already saw this. Elisha's not worried. He sees what God's doing. Why? Because he abides in that place. There's an alternate reality that you have to choose to abide in, right? Yeah. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Were they there before? Yeah. It required the opening of eyes. Before he saw it, all he saw was surroundings. But now he saw into a spiritual world that's an alternate, right? All right. And here's the one that, man, kind of got me started on this. And this comes from our reading today. How many like this? Abraham just said, there's so many examples for us in Abraham. But what did God do? God gave him a promise, didn't he? When he wasn't nearly so old as when the promise began to come to pass, right? But he never put a timeline on it, did he? He never said, by this time you're going to do anything. He just said, you're going to be the father of many nations, didn't he? And what was wonderful about this is, as an example, he told him, look at the sand. Your descendants will be like the sands of the seashore, right? Look up in the stars. Your descendants will be like the number of stars in the sky. Well, you know what? That was pretty much all that Abraham was going to see the rest of his life. So instead of getting discouraged about all I see is sand, all I see is stars, he could remember a promise. Every time he saw stars, every time he saw sand, it was a promise that he could live in, even though it wasn't coming to pass in his lifetime. You know what? If he hadn't have kept walking in that alternate reality, you know, I think of him and I think about Noah. Man, these guys were weirdos, weren't they? They were off in their own world, weren't they? Can you imagine people in their day? Abraham, too. It's like, what's wrong with this guy? He's walking around like he's the father of many nations. Okay, let me just read through this real quick because, I mean, it's encouraging to me. The Lord kept his word. and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. So what I want to see here is in God, the alternate reality for us has to be this limitless promise that we've gotten from God. It needs to take us to this other reality in our life, that we're living upon a promise. We're not living upon surroundings. We're not living upon even spiritual things alone. We're living upon a promise from God. Amen? She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at, this is so precious, because a long time has passed, hasn't it? And then it says here, and it's almost like, sheesh, this happened at just the time God said it would. This was the only time that God said a certain time. Remember, he came a year before with the guys in the tent, you know, and he said, a year from now, even though you're laughing, Sarah, a year from now, he put a time on his promise, finally had a time. This can be encouraging for us because many of the promises we have from God don't have a time on them, but we like to put a time on them, don't we? We like to say, and if it didn't happen by this time, I guess God just doesn't like me too much today. And Abraham named their son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. I just wanted to get to that part because the promise never changed. And he had to remain in the alternate reality because he's walking through. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here, okay? Just a little interjection here real quick, because God's promise, it's wonderful that it was to Abraham, but you know what? He also had a promise to the woman that they used for their own accomplishing of what they thought was the promise, right? Hagar, it wasn't her fault. She was just being obedient, right? She's just obedient to be a servant, and now she becomes a part of God's promise to Abraham. She gets her own promise. Look at this. This is cool. Then God opened Hagar's eyes. She needed her eye. She, remember what happened. So they were celebrating Isaac, and Ishmael started making fun of him, right? And it made Sarah mad. She said, you got to get rid of her. And God actually confirmed it. He said, she needs, go ahead and let her go. They just made her go out into the wilderness all by herself. And here's real quick, what happens a lot of times when that's happening, when you're thrust into something and you're not into the promise realm yet, and this is, I know I'm not gonna say it, Hagar. None of us say it right, I don't think. Anyway, you're thrust into the wilderness, and if you're not in the realm of the promise yet, you can't even see things that are there for you to supply you, right? And so she just goes over and she puts Ishmael under a bush and just and goes away from him because she thinks she doesn't want to watch him die. Isn't that sad? But then God opened her eyes and she saw a well full of water. Well, did God put the well there or was it there already? You know? Because when you're living in the realm of the promise, so what? This was just so wonderful. In a God encounter is a God reality. So when you actually encounter God, he's going to take you to a realm of promise where you can begin to see things that maybe were there all along, but require getting into the realm of the promise for you to see them. Can you see this? This is really good. She quickly filled her water container and gave the boy a drink. There's more around this if you want to read about it. But God said, this boy is going to be a nation's going to come from this boy too. Isn't God good? Yeah. Now, it doesn't look like it today. We got a lot of ramifications from this. But you know what? God loves, my brother right now is in Turkey. And we prayed for him today, I believe, in Zoom, right? And in Turkey, they have people that come from Iran. You cannot get into Iran. to minister. But one of the biggest revivals in the world today is taking place in Iran because there's the most persecution. We have this wonderful brother named Muhammad that was actually a terrorist. And so he knows how to speak to them and everything. And the thing in Turkey, you cannot proselytize except for if it's people that aren't native to the country. So they can bring in all these Iranians and they can minister to them. So they bring them in and they train them and they send them back. Isn't that cool? So God passionately loves the Muslim people. And there's a revival going on. And isn't that precious? He doesn't withhold his promise. The promise is, the realm of the promise is available to whoever will go to it. Amen? Though a foreigner by surroundings, nation father in his promise reality. What in the world am I saying there? So this last verse in this chapter is just, and Abraham lived as a foreigner in Philistine country for a long time. There's some other things that are going to happen. You know, he's going to have to go sacrifice his son and all that kind of stuff. But he just had the fulfillment of a promise at 100 years old. And nothing much changes other than now he has a son, does it? He's still wandering around as a foreigner in a Philistine land. You know what? He doesn't care. He's in the realm of the promise. Aren't you glad for this? This is where faith occurs. It's in this alternate. We cannot operate in a way that pleases God in the realities of surroundings and things that we're familiar with. We have to operate in the realm of the promise. Amen. God said I had a God encounter, and now I see things differently. I don't just see these circumstances. I see, when I see a circumstance, oh man, let me keep going. All right. Are you good? Okay. Is God a fickle promiser? Man, let's be encouraged in this. A lot of times people say, well, God's going to heal me if he wants to. Well, is that what the promise says? He's going to prosper me if he wants to. I wonder if God's going to bless me. I'm just believing for a breakthrough. Well, you know, that's kind of a good thing to like believe for, but why? Is it going to be something God's going to do in addition to what he's already done? No, he's already promised you everything. Yeah. You're going to have more than you can contain, yeah. Right? Yeah. So does God, what realm am I living in? The realm of expecting God to do something else other than what he's already done? Or the realm of, he promised me something, so I'm already there. I'm already the possessor. So what I saw with Abraham is he's wandering around as a foreigner, but that's not in his mind, he's not. He's the father of many nations. You can't tell him anything else. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. All right. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all God's promises, man, this is powerful. So we're really looking at the alternate realm of the promise, right? And you have to live here if you're going to actually be able to experience it. And one of the things that I saw in this too is Abraham's living in the realm of the promise enabled the promise for us today. The promise isn't just for us. I know we desire things for ourselves and for and we're going to walk in these things. Abraham was blessed while he was still on the earth. He was a rich man. But the fullness of the promise does not have a timeline on it. It includes us today. And there's a necessity in my living in the realm of the promise. It's not just about me. It's about who I affect. It's a ripple effect that takes place. When I live in that realm, it's going to affect somebody else. For all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. Sometimes the dynamics of what is being said, sometimes I don't think we, you go back and look at the commentaries on this, and it's like, this is a powerful yes in Christ. And through Christ, and this is the cool thing, through Christ, our amen. So all the promises that were made to Abraham, were made through Moses, all those promises in Christ are yes and amen. So I will bless you going in, I'll bless you going out. All the things, and I'm not going to get into all the individual ones, but they cover every aspect of our life, don't they? So either we believe that they've already been confirmed in Christ, and now we live in the realm of them, or we live in another reality. It's our choice. Isn't this cool? It's an alternative. Here's the thing about it. You know, people with grace, sometimes they can say, well, you don't have anything to do with it. No, you have to live there by faith. It's not by grace. It's by faith that we were. Amen? By grace, we were saved through faith. It requires the faith side for it to take place, right? All right. So, and through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised. Okay. So, God is not, first of all, it's saying, God is not fickle. If he made a promise, it's yours. But you have to live in its realm, just like Abraham lived in the realm of the promise God gave him. It has to be that it's already mine. And so you're living like it's yours. You're walking like it's yours. Doesn't matter what anything else looks like. I'm in an alternate reality. Nah, nah, nah. Right? Has to be that way. Amen? But he says, and so that you can be, to help you in this, what did Jesus say? I'm going to send you a helper. Because walking in this alternate reality, it's a spiritual thing. And you're going to need spiritual help. So he said, I sent my spirit to secure you in this. So that your walk is going to be secured by the spirit. Isn't this wonderful? He says, to identify you as the one that the promise was made to, I'm going to place the Holy Spirit in your heart. Isn't this wonderful? There's a need to access this, though, this fullness of the Spirit in utilizing the alternative of the promise. So taking the promise that God's given us and not just letting it be a mental thing, that we're adding it to the surroundings reality. No, the Holy Spirit comes. And what do we do when we're praying in the Holy Ghost? There needs to be an accessing of that promise. And a secure, and that's what he's saying. He secured it in your heart. So that now when you commune in the Holy Spirit, it's a way for that, for you to put on the virtual reality glasses and to live in the realm of the promise. Isn't that powerful? All right. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:17 now. That's one way of doing it, right? For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. So Paul actually talks about what we're going through a lot, doesn't he? The tribulation, the things we're actually going through. And he said, they're not going to last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. He says, and this is where one of the commentaries says, you can't put enough emphasis on how much more this is. So he says, instead of letting surroundings, that's like Abraham walking through as a foreigner, instead of letting that be something that was putting him down, he was looking towards the promise, and compared to what he was going through, it made the promise magnified. Can you see that? Instead of being something that was getting him down, when he's living in the realm of the promise, that thing that he's going through looks, it's made to be so minuscule, and actually the glory of the promise becomes overwhelming. It says it's a wonderful, it outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. They're there. They're a reality, aren't they? What we're going through is a reality. But what do? We don't look at those things. Why? Because we're living in an alternate reality. It's the reality of the promise. We fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? What you doing? Oh, I'm just looking at things that can't be seen. Well, you're weird. I live in an alternate reality. This is the real. Man, this is the real life. Amen? For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last beyond my last breath on this earth. So why would I let up until my last breath on this earth be any qualifications for the promise? Does that make sense? Why would I allow there to be any judgments about how long something has been on this earth? And get away from the Psalms sometimes, because David kind of leans over that way and says, how long, oh God, how long, oh God? See, I can do it. David did. No, we're living in the promise realm. We're gonna be like Abraham. We're not gonna be like what David was going through. We're tempted to, right? But what do? We go to the Spirit. We say, no, I'm tempted to feel this way. I'm tempted to go back into that old reality. I'm tempted to go back into the old man. But no, I've been given an alternate, and I'm choosing the promise. Amen? All right, are you good? Can you take a little bit more? All right, we're close here. My wife went really long last week, so, and y'all were egging her on, so I have a recording of you egging her on, and I'm going to play it here just in a second. Okay. Nothing but our reality choice can alter our love experience. I'll just kind of put this in. This is where he talks about love, right? Anything can separate us from the love of God. And he goes through all these things, all these circumstances, right? All these realities that we might be going through. Well, I'm going through this. I'm going through that. I'm going through that. And you know what? He says, no matter what you're going through, there's an alternate reality for you. But you have to choose it. You can't say, all this is happening, so I just, because God doesn't love me anymore. He just seems so far away from me. Well, that's your choice, because he's not. There's an opportunity in the midst of the greatest other realities going on, yeah, to say, no, there's a promise given to me. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. And his love is never going to be far from me. But do you see how important it is to choose that alternate reality? And for it to be something that you actually say, no, I'm not even looking at that stuff. In fact, I'm going to let that stuff be a reason for his love to be far outweigh whatever I'm going through. Yeah, isn't this a wonderful opportunity? Yeah. We don't have to live in this stupid realm. Of the world. Amen? We've been given options. Yeah. Don't you like our options? Yeah, they're good. All right, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Hey, I kind of put that all. You can go back and read that if you'd like. The surrounding reality only augments that far greater reality of our promise. This is kind of like the one we just read a little bit ago. This is why we never give up. Aren't you? And that was my whole inspiration in Abraham, the 21st chapter there of Genesis. Is he never gave up. He's walking around. How does he do this? Because he's in a different realm. He's in a different reality. He's in the reality of the promise. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every... Oh, I didn't say that right. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Amen? For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. I did read this already, didn't I? So we don't look at the troubles. we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. The things we cannot see will last forever. All right, I already read that. But let me read this last one here, and we can close. Our present reality that anchors the promise immovable is the Spirit. Let me see. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. Anybody want to groan and sigh with me? I don't know how to groan and sigh very well, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Man, this is a reality for all of us, isn't it? Got some rain. I like it when it rains in here. It can get pretty loud. So he's saying, when we're going through stuff, we're experiencing a reality of an aging body, of things that are going on. Huh? Not you're a lot younger. And you know what? I'm defying it even as the years go by. It's like, you know what? I'm not receiving things, you know. But we're all going to pass away. You know, we're all going to die. But what do we have with a promise with regard to that? We're getting a new body. We're getting a new body. And you know what? This living in this realm of our surroundings and what we're going through and our families and everything, that can be a bigger reality to us than this promise of a new body. Did you see this? But you start living in the realm of the promise of God, that's going to be an inclusion in that promise. And it's like, you know what? What I'm going through in this body, it's not going to cause me to lose faith. It's not going to cause me to get down. It's not going to cause me to not be productive in the kingdom of God. Why? Because I have something beyond. My promise is an eternal life. Amen? Amen? God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. This is very similar to that other verse, isn't it? It says, you know what? There's a security in this promise of the Holy Spirit. We should be drawing on the Holy Spirit to go into this. Man, I just encourage us. You know, as much time as we spend going into other realities in our life, I challenge us to say, God, I'm gonna give you this much time. Yeah. And while I'm in this time with you, you have my complete focus. And I'm not even gonna pray in my own. I'm not coming here for something. I'm coming here for you. I'm coming here because you're my God. And you put this Spirit inside of me that I can commune with you spirit to spirit. So that's what I'm going to do. Because as long as we stay in the realm of the mind, we're not into that promised alternate reality. As long as we're trying to figure stuff out that God needs to do for us. As long as, you know what I'm saying? And I think Jesus was really big on this. He'd go off onto the mountain. I don't think he was trying to tell God what to do. I think he was just, because that's the realm he operated in. It was an alternate reality. If this is true, we live by faith, don't we? It's in the realm of the Spirit. And he says right here, the way for us to live in that, to move in it, we walk in the Spirit, don't we? We walk in the Spirit. We live in the, what is that? That's an alternate reality. I'm not living in the flesh. I'm not living affected by everything else that's going on. I'm not living by what I feel like about myself, my own identity, and what I feel like I need to do. No, I'm living in the Spirit. But that does not happen if not I'm not communing in the Spirit. Because the Spirit that's come to live on the inside, to be full in me, is how I'm secured in that alternate reality. Amen? That's what it says, right? As a guarantee, has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. That's a description of Abraham. And you go into Hebrews 11 and all the pillars of faith, they died not having received what? The promise. But they lived in the promise the whole time. It was their choice. They didn't choose to live in this other reality. Aren't you glad we've been given somewhere else to go? We are not confined to these other realities around us. Isn't this a wonderful thing? Hallelujah. And he's given us his spirit to make it real to us. What's needed in reality is real. And this Holy Spirit comes to make it real for us. I don't know about you, but sometimes even just talking about this, it can sound pretty far out. It's like we used to get in some heavy stuff in it. But you get into the realm of the Spirit, you start speaking in another language in the Spirit, and it releases and it takes you into a place where your mind's not going to figure anything out, which it doesn't need to. And you can actually abide in another realm, and you can begin to see things. You know, he said, we don't live by what we see in this natural reality, but we do begin to see things in the spiritual reality. Amen?